Man, can we just celebrate the reading of God's word? That's amazing. Yeah, so glad you're here. What is your giant? You know that thing in front of you that just feels crazy overwhelming and it just keeps you up at night? And what's your giant? The thing is, we all have giants. And some giants have a name and a face. Others of them just exist inside our mind or our hearts, and there's a battle inside of us. If I was sitting down with you today and we just got to have coffee and I was just talking to you and I just ask you, just be really, really vulnerable and just name your giant, how would you name it? What would you say? And what I want to do at the very top of this message is I just want to give you a moment to name your giant. This is really important that you name it. So just name it right now. Just what is it? Is it that anxiety and fear of something right now that's in front of you or something in your future you don't think is ever going to happen? Is it a pain that you're in the middle of? Is it something with an ex? Is it something at work? Is it something really big financially? Is it a loss you just experienced that you don't think you're ever going to get over? Just what's your giant? And whatever it is, what I want to talk to you about today, and this is the big idea, and just hang with me for a moment. This is the big idea, is that your giant is not as big as you think. And some of you are like, you don't even know what it is. How could you even say that to me? And you might even think that seems insensitive to say, but I'm just here to tell you, it's not as big as you think. And even though you might push back, let me just take you back in your past. How many of you have had a giant in your past, not the giant you're facing right now, I mean a giant years ago, that you thought, I will never get over this. It's done. I'm never moving past this, right? And then here you are today, and doggone it wasn't as big as you thought. Could it be that when we have giants in front of us, we give those giants more credit than they deserve? Could that be? And so I just know for some of you, like I've been there. I look at my own life and I just say, I mean, even I look at in the past and just recent past, and I think, you know, there was a time Jamie and I were sitting down with a guy that we meet with regularly, that's our coach and counselor, and we were sitting down with him and we were just sharing like this really big giant that we were facing in front of us, and it just felt so big. Like, how do you ever overcome this? And we're explaining it, and I just verbal vomit all over this guy. I'm like, look at this thing, it's so big. And we get done, and he says, can I just tell you something? I said, of course. He says, I want to give you a word, and I hope you're not offended. Here's the word. Enough. And I was like, what? He says, enough is enough. And maybe that's the word you need to hear, because that pierced my heart in such a big way, because he was just saying, like, you've given this thing too much credit. You think it's too big. Enough is enough. Try to move on. And what I want to do today is I want to pierce some of your hearts. I want to shake you up a little bit and help you see what God wants you to see, that your giant is not as big as you think. And what I want to speak to you about today is the anatomy of a giant killer. Like anatomy of a giant slayer. What does it look like to slay a giant? And we're in week two of a series, walking through the life of David. How many of you brought your notebooks back? If you were here last weekend, show them to me. Please bring these. They're going to walk you through the series. You can capture what God's telling you. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 17 today, if you have a Bible. And we're going to look at one of the most epic and well-known stories, maybe in all of Scripture. Even if you've never been to church, this is your first time at church, you've heard this story. And it's the story of David and Goliath. Now, I want to tell you the danger that some of us have, because we've heard this story so many times. Our danger is with our familiarity. We can sugarcoat what God meant to shake us to our core. And so I'm going to shake you a little bit today. I want to tell this story in a fresh way, and I just hope God speaks to you clearly today. So if you've got a Bible, it is 1 Samuel chapter 17. And as you turn there, let me just give you a little context. In chapter 16, which is what we covered last week, we saw David's anointing. Remember, we said, you are anointed. God has given you an anointing. If you're a follower of Jesus, he has his spirit inside of you, and he has a purpose and a plan for your life. And with David, he's anointed king. Chapter 16. Chapter 17, you're probably thinking, well, he's king because he was anointed, right? Not even close. In fact, as you study the life of David, it takes 17 chapters, almost 15 years for him to become king. How many of you know that when God calls you to something, he'll put you in a waiting period so many times? And the waiting period, it stinks like nothing else. You ever been there? In a waiting period, God is developing you, and he's never wasting a waiting period. Don't ever think that. And David's in a waiting period. So when chapter 17 hits, he's not king. He's back to shepherding. He's back in the sheep field again. And God is going to make him king, but watch this. God doesn't give David a crown right away. He gives him a Goliath, a giant to slay. And David's life gives us a role model in this chapter of how we can begin to slay giants in our life as well. Let's pick up in chapter 17, verse 1. It says, now the Philistines, if you don't know who the Philistines are, they're the Klingons of the Old Testament, all right? They're like the enemies of God, always there, you know, coming after them, and they gather their forces for war. So they're going to war. The Philistines live kind of on the very western coast of Israel, right up against the ocean. And even today, like where the Gaza Strip would be and all there, that would be kind of where the Philistines were at. And they're coming at the people of God for war. Verse 3 says, the Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another with the valley in between. So what's going on is God's people, the Philistines, are on opposite hills, and in between is a valley. It's called the Valley of Elah. You can still visit there today in Israel. I've been there. It's epic. And so there's going to be like a battle. The question is, who's going to go on the battlefield? And in verse 4, if this was a movie, this is where the soundtrack changes. It's like, bum, bum, bum. In verse 4, it says, a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. So he comes out, and what he begins to do over and over again is he begins to taunt and defy and just look down on not only the people of God, but their God. Now, when Goliath came out, we're told later that the people just, they crumbled in fear. They crumbled and wanted to run away. And the reason why, we all know the reason why, is because of what? Goliath's size. He was so big. In fact, it goes on to say that his height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, the way you would measure like a cubit and a 6 cubits and a span back then is it was somewhere around, let me show you a picture, it was somewhere around 9 feet 9 inches tall. Like, that's how big Goliath was. And he's not only big, everything about him is designed to intimidate, because it says he has a bronze helmet on, he has bronze armor all over that weighs 125 pounds. Like, think about that rucking that he's doing every day. Like, that's crazy. And he has a spear that is said to be 25 pounds. To put that in perspective, a Major League Baseball player, the average weight of a Major League Baseball bat is like between 30 and 32 ounces, maybe a little more. That's 2 pounds. So think about how massive this guy is. And compared to what? The average person in the world today is 5 foot 5 inches tall, right? If I round up, 6'2", okay? And my wife's always like, you round up, you're 6'1.5". I'm like, just round up to 6'2", all right? So I feel pretty good, but the average person is 5'5". And even in David's day, they've had skeletal remains from this period. About 5'5" is about what people wore. So think about this. The giant they faced was almost twice as big as anybody else. I mean, that is crazy intimidating. Let me point out one more point from this passage, though. If you go back to verse 4, watch what it says. It says, a champion named Goliath. Now, you might think this word champion, that means like he's just a warrior. He like wins all the time. No, no, no. This is different. You got to dive into this. It's a Hebrew word. This is the only place in all of Scripture this word's used. It's a compound word, and watch what the word champion means. Champion means the man in between. And that is very significant, because think about it. Here's the people of God that have a vision. God says, I want you to take ground. I have a mission for your life. Think about your life. And one man comes out, and he's the man in between. The man in between where God wants them to go and what they face. And I think that's significant for us, because look at this image again. God, if this is you, God has a vision for your life where he wants you to go. and there is something standing in between. You have a giant, and it's in between you and where God wants you to go. And the question is, will you be able to overcome this giant, or will you cower in fear? And some of you feel like the Israelites felt, because it says in verse 16, it says, for 40 days the Philistines came forward every morning and evening, and he took his stand. So Goliath comes out every morning and every evening to taunt the people of God. And I think that's significant, because when I have a giant in my life, I feel like it's the first thing I think about when I wake up, and it's the last thing I think about when I go to bed. In fact, it's worse for me. Does anyone else, when you have something really big going on, does anybody else wake up at 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning, like constantly? Anybody, is that just me? It's like so eerie that I wake up at that time. I'm supposed to be resting to be prepared for what God has for me the next day, and I wake up and my mind is racing about my giant. When it says that Goliath came out every morning and every evening, what's interesting at this time in Israel is that the people of God were told to bring to the tabernacle sacrifices every morning and every evening. And a lot of scholars believe, and I would fall into this camp, that when Goliath came out, he would come out at the exact time in the morning and the evening that the people of God were supposed to be worshiping. And how many of you know that when a giant, you're facing a giant, it often keeps you away from the worship of God? Like some of you have experienced times in your life where there was a giant, you stopped coming to church. You stopped serving. You stopped leaning in. You stopped reading your Bible. For me, I read my Bible every single morning and pray. It is a structure in my life I just don't miss. But when I have a big giant, can I tell you what happens to me? I can wake up and read my Bible reading for that day. I can read a whole entire chapter, but I can get to the end of the chapter and not remember one thing I just read because all I was thinking about was my giant. Think about how giants are designed to taunt us and keep us away from where God wants us to head. And that's what's happening to the people of God right here. They're all in fear. They all are being opposed by a giant, the man in between. And into this valley, the in-between, God is going to bring a shepherd boy. And he's going to show us how to slay a giant. His name is David. What's interesting is David was not there on the battlefield. Okay, remember the hills and the valley in between? David wasn't there. His brothers were there. He wasn't there. And the most likely reason he wasn't there is because David wasn't 20 years old yet. He's probably a teenager still. It was a requirement in Israel at the time. You had to be 20 years old to enter the army. So David's not there. He's still tending sheep. His brothers are there. But his dad says, hey, I want you to go check on the brothers, see how they're doing. So he sends David on an Uber Eats run. Literally, this is what he does. Just watch this. Verse 17. Now Jesse said to his son David, take this ephah of roasted grain, these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers, and hurry to their camp. Take along 10 cheeses. He's got a charcuterie board, all right? It's like, who wants some Gouda? Who wants some sharp cheddar? You know, it's like he's walking in as like a nobody, charcuterie board. He's checking on his brothers. And what happens is the moment he shows up on the battlefield, he hears, that's when Goliath comes out, he hears him taunt the people of God. And while everyone else was fearful, David was defiant. He says, how dare you defy my God? And he starts asking around, like, what happens to the guy that will defeat this giant? His brothers start mocking him. What are you doing? You show off. And then Saul catches wind that there's a guy that's brave on the battlefield. And it's like Saul hadn't seen that before. So he invites David in, and David walks in and he's like, I'm your guy. I know I'm like a rookie out of the NFL draft, but I can quarterback this team. Put me on the field, coach. And Saul looks at David, and he looks him over, and he says, you're too small, and you're too inexperienced. And look at this giant. Look how big he is, and look how experienced he is. And you know what David's response is to Saul? Watch this. He says, but David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. It's like, if you're Saul, you're like, whoop-de-doo, bro. You got some cheese, and you take care of sheep. Like, what's that going to do against a giant? And then David does something really significant. Watch this. He says, no. I want to recall in my mind for you the faithfulness of my God. He says, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. I've had times in my past, Saul, where I've faced not this giant, but I have faced miniature versions of him. And I've killed him. And by the way, this uncircumcised Philistine, he won't even say his name. I love that. I'm not even going to give him the dignity This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. David says, I've never faced this giant before, but I've faced others before. And he gives us the first principle that is really, if you want to be a giant slayer, this is the anatomy of a giant slayer. Here's point number one. I hope you're taking notes in your notebooks. Ready? Here it is. Yesterday's lions have prepared you for today's giants. You may not know it. You may not feel it because the giant's big, but yesterday's lions have prepared you for this giant today. Think back on your life. All of us have faced something hard. And sometimes it's in the same lane or really great preparation for what we're facing today. We just have forgotten it. Like you might be in a financial mess today. You ever been in a financial mess before? That would be yes. Most of us have, right? You may have lost someone and think the loss is unbearable. Have you ever lost someone before? You say, it's not like this one. It's not as big. I know it's not. But yesterday's lions have prepared you for today's giants. And you may not have experience with this, but you have experience with God. You have seen God come through if you're a follower of Jesus here today. You've seen God come through in the past. And if you forget it, you'll get overwhelmed by the giant in front of you. You've forgotten how God overcame those giants in your past. So yesterday's lions have prepared you for today's giants. And it may be big, but here's the second principle we see from David. Don't confuse big with unbeatable. Don't you dare confuse something that looks really big and say it's completely unbeatable. Says who? Says you? The description of Goliath in Scripture, outside of probably describing Satan, this is the longest description of an enemy in all of Scripture. And we get all these details of how big he is. The bronze, his shield, his armor bearers going out in front of him, and the guy just, I think the description is meant to show us how big this issue really is. He looks unbeatable. And yet, I wonder if when you look at Goliath, I wonder if his greatest strength, which is his size, was hiding his greatest weakness, that he's going to fall. How many of you know, like the famous boxer said, the bigger they come, the harder they fall. What if his greatest strength was hiding a weakness that everybody missed? Now, Scripture doesn't say this explicitly, but when I read this story, what we know today about people that have giantivism, in other words, they are giants, and there are modern-day giants in our world. I don't know if you know this. I mean, I'll give you an example. Look at this guy right here. His name is Robert Wadlow. He died in 1940. He was almost 9 feet tall, almost 430 pounds. What we now know from science is people that deal with giantivism, most of them have a disorder with the pituitary gland that also causes them to have a lack of vision. Like he's got glasses on. I don't know if they struggle with this, but we know that people with giantivism, they can have double vision. They can have extreme nearsightedness. They can even go blind. Could it have been that Goliath, he couldn't see very well? You'd say, how in the world would you even come up with that? And let me just show you. Let me show you the verse. Verse 42 says this, and 43. It says, when David came on the battlefield, it says, Goliath looked at him, and then watch this. He says, am I a dog that you come at me with? Say it out loud. Sticks. What in the world is he talking about? Sticks. Sticks is a plural word. Multiple sticks. Think about this. Verse 40, we know what David had. David has 5 stones. He's got a sling. He's got 1 staff from being a shepherd. So he's got 1 staff that could look like a stick. Why would Goliath say, you're coming at me with sticks, plural? Does he have blurred vision? I don't know. Could it be that his shield bearer that has to walk in front of him is there to show him where to go because his vision isn't very good? Could it have been that when David slung that stone, he barely even saw it coming? And nobody knew. Now listen, that, it doesn't say that definitively in Scripture. I always want to tell you that, okay? But even if Goliath's vision was perfect, what everyone else did looking at Goliath, how big he was, is all the soldiers, every single soldier that was gathered there besides David, looked at Goliath and say, he's so big, he's unbeatable. And David looks at the same giant and says this, he's so big, how could I miss? That's faith. Listen, when you face a giant, watch this, when you face a giant, you can either look at that giant through the lens of fear or faith. And when you look through the lens of fear, your giant automatically gets bigger. In fact, it gets bigger, you give it more credit than it's due. When you look at a giant through the lens of faith, it puts a giant in proper perspective. And sometimes we magnify our giants as just way too big for God to ever overcome them. So what have we learned from David so far? Here's what we've learned. Yesterday's lions have prepared you for today's giants, and don't confuse big with unbeatable. And this next point is the most important point that you could get today, in my opinion, that we see from David. I'm going to show it to you, and here it is. Size up your giant next to God, not yourself. You have to size up your giant, not against you, because you'll always be overwhelmed, but against the God you serve. Here's what I know. Some of you are facing bigger giants than we could ever imagine. Like, it's bad. It's like when I was writing this message on Monday morning. I write Mondays and Tuesdays. I usually try to wrap up a lot of the message on Thursday, and then I come in Saturday morning and I start going through the message and getting prepared, and that's just kind of my rhythm. But on Monday morning, as I'm putting like everything around what I want to speak to you about on this message, I get a phone call from a very close friend to Jamie and I, like someone we love very much. And they began to describe that they had just found their daughter and she had taken her life. And I thought, I know this person. I know what they've been through already. And I thought to myself, like, how do you face that giant? That is big. Some of you might be, well, my giant's not that big, but it's still big. Like, how do you face the pink slip? Like, where's finances coming from? How do you face the panic attacks over and over again? How do you face the divorce that is as nasty as it can ever be? How do you face that debt that feels overwhelming? And the more you look at your giant through the lens of how big you are versus how big God is, that's the difference. Can I show it to you? Here is what we do. We literally look at our giant and we ask this question. How big is Goliath compared to me? You could do that. How big is my giant compared to me? And it's always huge. And here's the question David asked. I'm going to show it to you clearly. He asked this question. How big is Goliath compared to my God? You have a God that is bigger than you could ever imagine. He went to a cross and shed his blood, and he has nail-pierced feet and hands that show the lengths he will go to come rescue you. There is one man in human history that has died and rose again and conquered death, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he's the only one that can save you. Amen? The only one. But we forget the lengths that God went. Like, look at that. You got to look at this through the lens. You got to look at this through the lens of how big your God is. And watch this. Compared to the giant, he can squash anything. But that's the perspective that we need. And I'm going to show you how David had this perspective. But man, here's what I do all the time before I show you. I do this, and I just want you to know, I'm preaching to myself. You'd be like, man, do you have that big perspective of that big foot that can crush anything? And I wish I could sit here and tell you I have that perspective all the time. I do not. If you're looking for a perfect pastor, you're in the wrong church. That guy doesn't exist, by the way. I have my own doubts. I have my own insecurities. I have my own fears. In fact, there's times I get convicted because I feel like there's times in my life I prayed to God and I'd say, God, can you bring smaller giants? Like, I know they're going to come, but can you bring smaller giants? And here's what I've determined. As long as I'm going to use my life to make a difference on this earth for Jesus Christ, there won't be smaller giants. They get bigger. Come on. Somebody needs to hear this. the giants don't get smaller. And if you're looking for smaller giants, get out of the game. When you use your life to make a difference, we have an enemy here on earth. We don't fight against princes and against flesh and blood. We fight against princes and principalities in this world. There is evil in this world. And as a follower of Jesus, you're in enemy-occupied territory. The giants are going to keep coming. So what we have to do is you don't need smaller giants. You need a bigger view of God. Amen? You don't need smaller giants. You need a bigger view of God. Now watch David do this. This is so, lean in with me. Just watch him do it. Watch this. It says in verse 41, meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. So David's on the battlefield now, and he's coming closer and closer to David, which makes him bigger and bigger to David. And it says this, he looked over David and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. This is funny. Goliath's a hater, but he has to admit, boy's pretty good looking, right? And he's like, it's kind of funny. He says that. And then it says this. It says, he said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? There's that sticks, plural. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. And then watch what David does next. This is amazing to me. David, he's like, sees the giant, and he doesn't once comment on the size of the giant. Watch what he does. He just comments over and over again about the size of his God. Oh, 45, David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, and I come against you, not by my strength, in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied this day, not me, the Lord. He points always back to God, will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down. I will cut off your head. That is bad. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know, not about David, not about me, that there's a God in Israel. He just keeps talking about how great God is, how big God is. All those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly. I love this. He just ran at him. He ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out one stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Watch this. The author says, without a sword in his hand, and he struck down the Philistine, and he killed him. Is that not epic? Is that an epic description of what God can do? Can I tell you my observation? David's speech about God is longer than the fight. Why? Because the speech is the point. What David was trying to do is he was trying to show us that when you face a giant, you don't compare the size of the giant against you. You compare the size of the giant against the size of your God. And you gotta talk about the size of your God over and over and over again. Because CCV, you have a God that went to the cross to save you. He died for you. And if you don't rely on the power that's been given to you to face all your giants, you'll always be overwhelmed. And it's why some of you feel overwhelmed. You know, throughout this series, I wanna keep saying to those of you that have not given your life to Jesus, not repented of your sin, not declared him as Lord and been baptized, if you've not done that, of course you're gonna be overwhelmed for the rest of your life. You don't have the power of Jesus, resurrection power inside of you. So of course that's what you need. And that may be your big takeaway today. You know, this past week I heard the story about a young boy who's playing in a field, and his father's watching him, and there's a huge boulder in front of him. And this boy, he it's in his path of play, and he's trying to move this boulder, and he just keeps trying to push against this boulder, push, and it won't budge. And the dad yells out, hey, you're not using all your strength. He's like, oh, okay. So he tries to push harder and harder, and it's like it won't even budge. And he looks at his dad, he's like, I'm trying. He's like, nope, you're still not using all your strength. And so this boy backs up and like a, you know, linebacker, like chasing offensive line, he runs and like hits this boulder with all of his might, falls to the ground. It doesn't even move. And he looks at his dad with tears going down his face, and he says, "Dad, I'm using all my strength." And his dad looks back at him and says, "No, you're not, because you haven't asked me to help." That's a description, I think, very accurately of how some of us will be facing our giants. It's like our own power, our own strength. And what God wants to lean in with you today and just shake you up a little bit is to say, you got to put your giant in perspective. And you got to keep looking at that giant in comparison to me, not your own strength. So, remember, your giant's not as big as you think. It's not. You may be giving your giant way too much credit. You can't even get a good night's sleep. You can't even, like, function. Your giant's not as big as you think. And how do you become a giant slayer? Well, here's the anatomy of a giant slayer. You just remember yesterday's lions have prepared you for today's giants. You don't confuse big with unbeatable. And you size up your giant next to God, not yourself. I want to ask everyone to just close your eyes for a minute. All of us, just close your eyes, and I want to give you a moment to just let God speak to you. I asked you at the beginning of the service, like, what is your giant? And I want you to think about that giant again. Just put it in your mind. And the visual you just saw, are you comparing that giant against who you are and your strength, or are you truly comparing that giant versus God? Some of you know you don't have God in your life, and what God's speaking to you today is that you can't go another day without Him truly in your life, in your heart, by giving your life to Him and being baptized, and that is your next step. And I pray you have the courage to take it today, not tomorrow. But for those of us that are followers of Jesus, let me just ask you, what's God saying to you today? Have you forgotten the past lions and God's faithfulness? Have you thought big means unbeatable? Or maybe you just need to start sizing that giant against God, not yourself. Whatever God's speaking to you with your eyes closed, I want to invite those of you that know you need some prayer. Like, you know, at the end of every service, we have people down up front that want to pray with you. And I just pray that, man, you would stream down front and just say, "I've got a giant and I need the right perspective. Enough is enough." For those of you that need Jesus, man, I just pray you come forward as well, and or just grab a pastor, grab anybody, and just say, "Man, I think today's my day." But for all of us, I want to just pray that God would speak into our lives and show us exactly what He wants to say. Father, all of us are facing giants. We know it. And some of them are so big, there's someone just so overwhelmed right now that you brought them to show them nothing's overcomable with you. Would you help us walk not by our own power, our own strength, but by the strength of your Spirit? And God, for those that maybe their giant is they need to step forward and serve, help them to just take that step as well. But for all of us, we want to remember the life of David, not as a perfect person, but as someone that shows us how to slay giants. God, help us to go from here as a group of giant slayers. Not by our own strength, but by yours. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you back next week for week 3 of David.